In God's kingdom, too many things to think about with this little recorder. Pruning a tree is like God's kingdom. Circumcising a baby boy is like God's kingdom. Some things hurt before they help. The tree doesn't like getting pruned, but it makes it flourish and bear much foliage of leaves. And I want to talk to you with a few things of correction. Honor your father and your mother. You guys want to live long on the earth? If you want things to be well with you, honor your father and your mother. My mother is in my house. Okay? She's got a memory issue, dementia, and it can be very frustrating, and I can get testy, and then the Holy Spirit's all over me because I'm actually putting a curse back on myself when I do it. And so then I go, okay, I'm going to bless her, I'm going to make her feel good, and I'm going to make her day good today by loving her, by, you know, blessing her. And I'm just saying that yesterday I asked you to forgive your father and your mother. That goes along here. If you don't honor your parents, God can't stop your shortened life from being shortened. He cannot stop things from going haywire in your life. Because He says, honoring your father and your mother, and it will be well with you. Well means things will be going good, and you will live long on the earth. Now, some of you may have parents that passed away. You know what? You can still honor them with your life. If your dad was a kind man, you've got to be a kind man to honor him. God watches this. You can honor and please God. Okay? I want to talk to you guys about church and where you feed at church. I told the guys this morning and yesterday morning, if you're learning things from me that your denomination doesn't agree with, ponder those in your heart like Mary pondered the pregnancy in her heart, without going and creating strife and division and sharing things that's going to lead you into a debate with people that don't agree with you. Don't do it. But some of you have leaders in church. You need to love them and honor them. Okay? You know what the Bible says? You can find this all over the Bible. It is required that a man be found faithful. It is required that a man be found faithful. Faithful to who? Well, you got to be faithful where you're planted. You got to be faithful to your pastor and to the people that your pastor oversees. And it is required that you be found faithful. The Apostle Paul wrote that. You can go over to Timothy. Don't go there now. But in Timothy, 1 Timothy 2, 3, he gives the requirements for a man of God that's involved in a church and a church body and the requirements of what you're supposed to be like and the things that are supposed to be priorities to you. But if you go, I want to talk to you about the body of Christ, okay? Go to 1 Corinthians 11. Guys, this is like this could be, in your case, like a spiritual spanking, okay? Not from me, but from the Holy Spirit. I wasn't even going to share on this. Okay? This is not even part of my message. Did you know that communion isn't just between you and God? Communion is between you and your fellow believers. Community comes from the word communion. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 11, he says, he's talking about communion. Jesus, Paul is repeating Jesus' words. You can see some red letters there. Paul's repeating Jesus, so they put it in red letters. But verse 26, as often you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of our Lord. It just so happens we're going to take communion today, everybody. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Okay? Now, guess what the body of Christ is? In communion. Yes, it's your fellow believers. And if you are going to have aught with your fellow believers, anything against any of them, you are eating and drinking the body and blood of Jesus Christ unworthily. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. In other words, some people that are not properly connected in the Christian body they're in and have aught and problems and issues. That's why I told you, you're trying to choose a church. And I said, you better choose it right, because God sees it like a marriage. And if you go in there, you can't leave it without being unfaithful.
It took me 2 years to find the right church. Once yeah. I moved back home with my parents from Fresno.
It's kind of like dating a girl.
I went to four churches before I found the right church.
Yeah. See, I have to tell, if he's my disciple, I have to tell him the hard things. And I said, though, watch out before you commit to a church, because once you commit, you are in there in God's eyes. And he has to tell you you can leave it before you can leave it.
He who?
But when I,
God.
But when I realized I was at the right place is when the pastor did an altar call for people accepting, and a third of the people in the church came to the front. Then he asked the rest of the church to come lay hands, and there was only like 10 people left sitting yeah. in the seats, and I was like, okay, this is the place where I need to be.
Praise God. So, this is what I'm trying to tell you. The body of Jesus is a group of people. And you have to, and if you look at verse 30, it says, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. And my footnote says, they're dead. Did you know that being out of sorts with the body of Christ can kill you, and kill you fast, and take you off the earth? Or it can lead you into the... Go back to the promise about the commandment, where he says, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you. You can't dishonor your spiritual father and mother either. Or it won't be well with you. And what is going to not go well with you? Well, you're going to be doing things, sowing to the flesh, which are going to hasten your death. That's how it won't be well with you. So if you get out of sorts with the body of Christ, and then what's going to happen is you're going to be sowing to the flesh. Because that activity is sowing to the flesh. It will cause you to sow to the flesh in your whole life. It could lead you back to your worst addiction. And so, all I'm telling you is that you guys, it is required that a man be found faithful. And if you don't like something about somebody, you better get it out and give it to God. Because God will not alter this word here to protect you.
Question. That's number 28. It says, let a man examine himself. Now, this before communion, so does that mean that you should... confess your sins before God and repent before you take communion?
Well, yes, you need to get all your sins out on the table. That's examining yourself. But the worst sin of all is once you've confessed all your sins, you still think you're okay when you have aught and trouble with people. Because a righteous man of God is supposed to have no trouble with anybody on the earth at all. You don't have any right or luxury to have any unforgiveness whatsoever at all. And you must not ever have... It's not love to have any unforgiveness. And if you think you're going to be a great man of faith with any bitterness or unforgiveness, you're sadly mistaken, because faith works by love. And if you have no love or no bitter... If you have bitterness and unforgiveness, you're lacking in love, and your faith is going to be worthless. Worthless. And you're not going to accomplish anything in your vision. And your loved ones and your wife and your children all deserve better than that from you. Okay? Do you see now what I mean? You're getting a spanking.
You know, Adam and I were talking about this earlier, about, you know, how you present yourself and why you seem to just touch people is because you, you don't condemn them, you, you show love to them. It's like,
yeah.
you don't preach to them about it, you just show them love.
My pastor once, Larry Hayashida, said, because I got up once and he let me preach one Sunday, and I was so hard on his flock, and I was just a young whippersnapper, and I wasn't saved very long, and I was just so hard on them. And Larry got up real sheepishly, like, gosh, what did I let him preach for? And then he stood up there, and he goes, that was a spiritual spanking from the Papa God. He says, but, he says, we know Greg and we know his heart. And I guess that a spanking is tolerable if you know the heart of the person that gave it. Huh?
The rod of reproof.
Yeah. So if you know the heart of the guy that gave it, then you can tolerate it and you can grow from it. And the man that gets, the Bible says the man that gets correction, if he's a fool, he'll reject it. But if he's a wise man, he'll grow from it. He'll receive it and grow from it. To build on this, go to 1 Corinthians 12. And now you're going to see. Anybody like the spiritual gifts? Does anybody like the idea of flowing in the spiritual gifts?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. There was no chapters and verses in the original text of the Bible. You didn't have 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Okay? All right? They just came out of Paul in consecutive order. In 12, he reveals the gifts. In 13, because of his poor, simple mind, I guess, he jumps tracks because now he's talking about love. In 14, you know the love, the chapter that they put on the wedding invitations and people put it in their homes, love never fails, love this, love that. You all know that one. And then in 14, he's giving instruction on how to operate in the spiritual gifts again. And it's like his mind didn't jump a track. 1 Corinthians 13 is how to make the gifts work in your life. It's the love chapter. It isn't just for weddings. It's the love chapter on how to get... See, 12, he introduces gifts. 13, he says love. And 14, he says, well, here's more on the gifts. He didn't jump a track.
He says, and it starts at 14.
Without love, the spiritual gifts are...
Yeah, now, let look at this. 1 Corinthians 12. He's talking about the body of Christ. Verse 24, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body. Who composed the body together of Christ? God. Who brings churches together? God. Who brought you to the church you're in? God. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. What's a schism? What's a schism?
A rift. Division.
A cataclysm in between. A schism. Gandalf fell into a schism. Okay. Okay, so get this. There should be no schism in the body of Christ. If you're the source of the schism, you need to get it out of you. If you're the source of the schism, you need to get it out of you. If someone else has got a schism with you, you need to go to them and try to get it out of them. And if they won't release it, then you love them and forgive them, and you can part company, and the judgment that I was talking about in the other chapter will fall on them and not you. But you must not be a participant in any breaks in the body of Christ. Anywhere, anytime. That's why when I told you guys I wrote the three movements of Christianity. Listen guys, you guys missed a great teaching this morning. I wrote the three movements of Christianity. Ecumenicalism, which is Catholics, Lutherans, most Protestants. And the Evangelicals, which is Baptists and other churches. And then Pentecostals. I wrote all three movements. And then this is what I said. I said, I'm in all three of these. I belong to all three of them. I am a Lutheran because they know Christ. I am a Baptist because they are my brothers in Christ. And I am a Pentecostal. And I just don't agree with everything in every one of them. But I'm not going to have a schism with anybody in any part of the body of Christ, because I want these gifts functioning, I want my faith working, and I want to live longer on the earth, and I don't want my body to expire, and I don't want to be in a schism that leads me to indulge my flesh and destroy my body. So there's an Old Testament verse that says how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. If there's a mark of Whitefields Ministries, I want it to be a bridge-building, unifying ministry to the body of Christ. And I don't want it to create schisms. That's why I tell you, man, if you learn something radical from me, ponder it in your heart and don't go shouting it from the rooftops, okay? Well, praise God. Father, I just pray for each of these men, and I ask that you let them take the words just given with the heart it was given in by me and by you, Father, a heart of love and correction, so that they can grow and change and transform. Revelation precedes transformation, which precedes manifestation. Glory to Jesus. Holy, holy, holy. If you guys haven't figured it out, I just preached you holiness. I just preached you holiness. I just pruned your tree. I just helped circumcise your heart. But I didn't do it. The Holy Spirit did it. You can have a schism with your wife. You can have a schism with kids. You can have a schism with your boss. I won't let myself get mad at my boss. He does things I don't agree with. But I love him with God's love, and every night on my way to work, I pray for him. And I pray for everybody there that works there. I pray for you as a director there. I pray for Victoria. I love her, I don't like her. I shouldn't have even said that.
That's good, though, Rick. That's good.
Hmm?
That's very, very good.
There can't be any schism in me. If there's going to be a schism, it's going to be on the other side. That somebody else is going to have it with me, but I'm not going to have it with them. But I'm going to love everybody so that they will hopefully not have a schism with me either, because that's for their good.
That's so good. I walk in, I have nobody. It's very difficult. Mark, I'm just talking about running food service operations out there. It is so difficult. Nobody understands. Nobody understands. I walk out of my office. Idiot. Idiots.